Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker calling to you live from yourlivingbrand.com. How are you? I've got Joe Scott on the line. He's going to be talking to us all about looking at how do we work with AdWords. It's going to be a great show. But before I start, let me tell you a little bit about us. My name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Living Brand. Now, what I believe is that we talk to customers about brand, message, market, vision, and value. What do? Why do you do it? Who do you do it for? How do you communicate with them? And why people should care? Now, the reason I started this show is because it's important. Every single company has value. Every single customer is unique. And I want to talk to different types of companies to find out what makes them unique. What's their story? How do they attack the marketplace and how do they differentiate themselves in the market? So today I've got Joe Scott on the line. Joe is a great friend of mine. He's based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, my hometown. And what we're going to talk about is his absolute and incredible understanding of the Google AdWords platform and how he differentiates himself in the market arena. Joe, welcome to the show. Thank you for your patience. Sorry we were a couple minutes late.
No worries. No, I'm very, very happy to be here and happy to share some alleged insights with your audience.
No problem. So tell me, let's get this thing started. Tell me your story. How did Scott and Associates get started? Tell me about your brand. Tell me about what you do, why you do it, who your customers are, and how you differentiate yourself in the marketplace.
Oh, very cool. Well, how we started off in 1993, and prior to that, I had been selling large-scale recognition programs for to the Fortune 500 businesses in the Minneapolis area. And as a lot of us do or should do, I became pretty good friends with my better competitors. Mm-hmm. And because we all realized that someday I may be working for them or they may be working for me. So we kept in close contact, and one of them tipped me off that the president of my company and the president of his company, who happened to be based in the same town, were seen having lunch together, which just was scandalous because these guys were like at each other's throats all the time. So we realized that.
So something was up.
Yeah, we realized that we could potentially be coworkers or something, but since we had the same territories, it was kind of weird. But anyway, instead of waiting to see what was going to happen, I had this brilliant, with quotes around it, idea. I'll just do this work myself. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted all of my customers, and every single one of them said, oh, that would be great. Local guy, same prices, same products. Well, I almost tanked the company in about a week. So who do you know that's intelligent, trustworthy, and hardworking? Well, that would be your spouse.
Right.
So my wife Katie righted the ship and hired two people immediately, which showed you how woefully my underestimation was of the work that needed to be done. So anyway, so we started doing that, and then I didn't have a product line anymore because I could sell anything. Well, I could sell anything instead of thou shalt only sell these things.
Oh, I
now
see.
Now it's
okay.
Like we had our own deal.
Right.
So I was able to say yes to my customers, and I remember this is extremely vivid, and where I'm going here is how we transitioned from the promotion into promotional products and then into a digital ad agency. I had a client hold up a watch and say, hey, can you get me a couple of thousand of these? Well, I said, sure. Figured that thing out. Then we realized how big the opportunity was in promotional products.
Right.
We started steaming along. You kind of get to the mid to the late 2000s. And then we had like the stock market crash. And mm-hmm. when you have big companies that are investing big dollars in award programs, it's pretty easy for the chief financial officer to say, nah, we don't need that. That's discretionary spending and whatever.
Right.
So we took like a huge freaking hit. Fortunately, we had just started creating websites for people and I started working with online advertising. So it took us about 12 months to train everybody. We kept everybody on board for, you know, just, we told them, we said, you know, we've just lost pretty much all of our business, but we're going to keep everybody on for another 12 months and it's going to be all about training. So that's how we transitioned into the digital marketing sphere.
Right.
And, you know, like literally the website, social media, writing copy, online advertising. So we became a digital agency and we do still sell promotional products.
Yeah.
So that's how we kind of got to where we are.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like you pivoted about the right time.
Well, we had to pivot.
Well, of course we all have. We all have to pivot. It's a matter of sitting there going, looking at where's the business going. And the business is not going backwards. It's got to go forwards.
Correct.
So when you're looking at that, you're sitting there going, okay, this isn't working. You know, how do you decide, you know, what the next step is? Because we're always looking for the next step. We're always looking to sit there and say, okay, here's where I am. Here's where the market is today. This is where I think the market is going. You know, how do we get there? How do we help our clients moving forward? Because, you know, as I was talking to some people yesterday about it, it's doing business today is pretty simple. You usually know what you're doing. You usually know who your customers are and you pretty much know what the market is going to be, you know, unless it's January 2008 and that's a different story altogether. But you know, it's that looking forward to be able to say, okay, where are we going to be in the next 5 years? How is the market going to change? And how can I differentiate myself to be able to put myself in a position to move forward? That's the challenge. So, you know, what do you see? How did you make that transition? How did you tell that new story? How did you keep your customers, you know, interested when they were used to seeing you one way and then they have to see you a different way?
Yeah, that's why I like talking to you, is you ask these very thought-provoking questions and cause me to think of things. And something that you caused me to think of that was really, really significant is that because of all the activities that Katie and I do in the local area, you know, 5 mile radius or whatever, we had this really large network of people who owned businesses. But when I was selling to Fortune 500 companies, my network really didn't overlap with the market that I was selling into. Well, all of a sudden, after we ended up losing those big accounts that were, you know, in different places of the country, we could actually serve small businesses.
Right.
And then when I started just talking to people, hey, you know, we're starting this new company. So, well, yeah, what do you guys do? And that was a significant thing, is that we were able to actually sell into our existing network for the first time. And the second thing that happened about the right time is that people would ask, you know, well, Joe, what do you do for a living?
Right.
And I would say, well, my wife and I own an advertising agency. And that was the end of the conversation, because whether you're an attorney or a marketing agency or whatever, if you say that term, people immediately assume they know what that is, and then they're going to stop asking.
They move on. Yeah, exactly.
And that really bothered me, because I really love what I do, and nobody else loved it. So we had actually some introspection when we were going, wait, you know, and it was just like one of two moments of clarity in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I went, wait a minute. I wrote this out. It's like, what do you do for a living? And I said, the word in there, do, is in there twice.
Yeah.
And nobody ever answers that question. So I got together with our team and I said, what do we actually do around here? And it wasn't like, what's the overall do thing that we have going on? And we came upon, we get customers for our clients.
Right.
And we all got excited about it. And literally the next day I got invited to play golf with some guys. And that's what guys asked. The first thing he asked, well, hey, Joe, what do you do for a living? And I said, I get customers for my clients. And he went around to his golf bag. And I didn't know if he was going to pull out a handgun or what he was going to do. He pulled out a business card, handed it to me. And he was the managing director of a decent sized law firm. And he said, can I be your friend? Handed me the card and said, get on my schedule because my partners and I, we need more clients.
Right.
So it was, I really wish I could say I had this strategic vision, and yeah. I really didn't. I mean, we got our butts kicked because of the economy. We happen to have another skill set that yeah. we developed. And then off we went. And then we started selling to people that we had known for 15, 20, 30 years.
Right.
Which really changed things a lot.
Yeah. Well, if you're selling to people you know for 15, 20, 30 years, there's already an underlying trust.
Yeah.
You know, they may not have known exactly what you did. They may not know exactly what you do, but there's already a level of trust there. What I see as interesting is the flipping story, and that's what I'm all about is being able to flip a story in such a way that people respond to it. You're right. When people say, well, we're a marketing agency. All right. They're a marketing agency. All right. They're one of a thousand things as we help your clients engage with you. Or pick a statement. It's what do you really do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, it's what do you do and why do you do it?
Yeah.
And those are the important questions that I think are really lacking in today's society, is that it's not the fact that you're a lawyer. It's the fact that you're a lawyer that helps serve a certain type of individual in a certain type of way, and this is the benefits that I can give to that person. And it's the same thing with you and I and with any other type of business. It's how you do what you do and why you do it and who do you do it for and why they should care.
Yeah.
And that's the story. And I think that's the story that you were trying to tell through the transition, if I understand correctly, is being able to allow people to see, all right, we made some mistakes. The economy hit us hard. We realize that this business isn't going this way, but we have this other set of skills. And here's a new story of how we can help you be better at what you're doing based on a different focus, a different philosophy. You were always in the marketing game. You were always in the business of helping people tell their story and helping people engage with their audience. But you're doing it in a different way. And it's that, how do you transition? And that's what I'm asking you is, if you were going to tell people how you actually transition and what's the story that you tell today, when you're telling a customer your story for the first time, what's that story that you're telling?
Well, the story is fairly similar to what I had spoken of how we started over here, we're freed up to solve other problems and help people take advantage of opportunities. And then realized that actually was a lot more fun and a lot more lucrative than what we had been doing.
Yeah.
But the thing I thought was really important is that when we work with us, we serve companies that are within, usually it's like the $1 million to $8 million range where they either don't have people on staff that can do this, or they have one person who is just running crazy, putting out fires.
Right.
So one of the things that everybody needs is, everybody can do services from A to Z, but you really need to get really good at telling a story about the entry point that most people will take.
Right.
So in our situation, when I started looking around at, those Galdarn websites are kind of important. And at the time, a website was nothing more than a brochure that you could look at on a computer.
Right.
And there were all these things around the outside that allowed people to find out about websites. And then once you got them there, what are you going to do? So we just broke this down into something where we would say, first thing, usually when people meet us for the first time, they want somebody to do a website or they want somebody to do online advertising.
Right. Okay.
And we had all those capabilities. The cool thing about the online advertising, and I'm a big nerd as far as certifications go.
Uh-huh.
And I find that if you're using something, let's say like online advertising, that's the entry point where you're trying to attract people to your company.
Right.
You need to have some sort of certification. Well, there is no website certification, but AdWords and Facebook have very serious certification programs. Mm-hmm. So that's the people that we end up talking to are people who are usually we design a lot of first websites, but most of them are second or third websites.
Right.
And once we start talking to them, and to get to your story about how you differentiate yourself and talk about your brand, we just say, well, you have this donut, and the whole of the donut is your website. And you have to get the right audience to go to your website. And then once they're there, you have to interest them enough so they will be confident that by giving you their contact information, you will not ruin their lives, you know, basically.
You're not going to spam them for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. So, yeah. And there's the thing is that there's so much work to do, and that's how we because I know that was one of the things that you talked about is how do you differentiate yourself? What we hear frequently are two things. One is, you guys do all this other stuff, and there's all these acronyms that get thrown around. And when I know that I've established my credibility as someone who is in a pretty senior position in a company, will say, you know what? What's this SEO crap? Or, you know, they'll ask.
Sorry, I have no beep on this thing.
No, that's okay. That's why I use the word crap. But anyway, but you establish this trust, and it's like there's something interesting and mysterious about all of this stuff that goes on around a website and then what happens on a website. And what I've learned, and I know you and I have talked about this too, is that the people who really know their stuff can explain any concept in 10 words or less.
Yeah.
And you know you've really done a good job communicating or telling your brand stories when someone says, oh, is that all that is? Yeah, that's all it is. So it gives them that confidence that, hey, now they know kind of what's going on, and they trust you because you've wrinkled their brain a little bit, and they're going, I like this person. They understand what's going on. They're willing to share. So by having a wide range of services that we can put together to, quite frankly, get people customers.
Right.
That's basically our brand story. But in a small company like ours, even though we have employees, Katie and I are the brand.
Right.
So it's that we're that manifestation of this inanimate object, which is our company.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the value that I see for you is the fact not only is the certification, and the certification is important because a lot of people out there don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also the fact that you can take complex things and make them simple.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, as you say, don't understand the process and the procedures and how things really work. And if you can take it and you can break it down into language that works for them, and then you can build that sense of confidence and you can build that sense of, hey, listen, I'm going to put this in a language that makes sense to you and let you know that I understand what you need to understand in order to make us both successful and ultimately for you to engage your audience, you know, people will trust you better. And yeah, that's what it's all about. It's all about trust. You know, it's all about being able to listen. It's all about being able to have confidence. And it's all about being able to build trust between you and your customers. And if you can do that, you can differentiate yourself quite easily. Yeah. And yeah, that's what I think is magic. That's the point that I think is absolutely magic, is when we can take ourselves and sit there and say, okay, how do we differentiate ourselves? We differentiate ourselves by being able to establish trust. And people to say that, you know what, these people are going to do what they say they're going to do. They're going to stand behind what they said they were going to do. They're going to do it. And you know what? The decision that I've made by hiring this person is the right decision because it's going to make me more successful as a business. And if we can do that, business is easy.
Yeah. And one of the things that I speak about this particular topic, one of the things that is really interesting is that you have trust and you also have intimacy. And for a business owner, there's nothing more intimate than telling somebody like how much money they make, you know, because we have to know some of that information to be able to serve them. So we can say, well, if these are the percentages and this is what happens with your gross margin on average, and this is the return on investment you want, then our suggestion is you should be able to afford this amount of money to get a lead.
Right.
So, and that's why, you know, there's that non-disclosure and that, but the thing is, that's why we call it an engagement letter.
Right.
It's the same thing as getting engaged to marry, to be married. And then you're working with them. You're pretty much married.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, once you're involved at a deeper level, you can help people so much better. You know, if the relationship is just superficial and if people are not willing to give you the inside information to help them move their needle on their business, you can only help them so much. But if you build that level of trust where people are willing to say, okay, here's my books, they're open. These are the problems I'm having. These are the issues that I've had. This is where, you know, these are the customers that I've lost. You know, can you help me?
Yeah,
you can, you know, because then you can drill down and say, why is this happening? Why, you know, why are we having these challenges? Why are people leaving, you know, your business? Why are they buying from your competitor instead of you? You know, why are your employees leaving you? Whatever, you know, if you understand those basic tenets of what's going on within somebody's company, you can help them so much better and you can help write the ship. But that comes down to trust.
Yeah.
And trust is something that is built over time, and it's something that takes a long time to build and can be broken quite easily. And it's all about keeping that trust and being a good partner for your clients, you know, and making sure that they know that you're on their side.
Yeah. And it's, I think that's where we end up doing our best work, is that just like with an engagement or marriage, I mean, you fall in love. If you have the right clients, you will fall in love with them, not only as a brand, but as people. Because in small companies, it's like you're responsible for helping them make payroll every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
And we become extremely protective of them and their brand. And we're fortunate that we only do business with a particular with one company in a particular segment of the marketplace in a geographic area.
Right.
So we can focus. But the thing that we found has been really interesting is that in certain marketplaces, in certain verticals, we have one instance, we have three competitors that are all clients because our first client referred us to the other ones and we said, hey, you know, we normally don't do this. And they say, well, it doesn't matter because, yes, we compete, but then we also collaborate on big. It happened to be insurance defense.
Right.
So, yeah, they compete for customers. But when there's a monster explosion, they're trying to reduce the exposure to their client of which they all serve. So it's just kind of an interesting situation. But you're right. I mean, it's trust. It's intimacy. It's love.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just like dating.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, exactly. You wouldn't date, you know, you wouldn't date sisters.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't date them. It's just, you know, I'm a big believer. I agree with you. I was up at Simon Fraser University yesterday speaking to a bunch of undergraduate students at their Beattie School of Business. Phenomenal program. You know, and the big question that was asked to me is, would you work for two competitors at the same time? And my answer is no. You know, it's there's no reason to. It's beyond the money. It's the fact that there's an ethical responsibility to your customer to take care of them. And if you're working for them and working against them at the same time, how can you work for them?
Yeah.
So I'd rather sit there and say, you know what? I'll forgo that client. I'll forgo that person because you know what? If I take that business, you know, behind my client's back, who am I and how am I best serving my client? Well, and I agree with you 100%.
And one of the things that is really, really motivating, and this will sound kind of strange, but I had one client, he said, I cannot believe the energy that you're putting into this. I mean, it's like, you just don't quit. And I just said, you know what? Your competitors deserve to die. I mean, you're my guy, you know, you're part of our family here.
Yeah.
And they deserve to die.
Yeah.
And I said, and when you're going to know when we're really doing our job is when you get, and everything, any advertising we do, it's 100% the truth. We use people, we use competitors' own information against them.
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to get a letter from their corporate counsel with all sorts of bluster and fluff. And you probably, you know, we're probably going to want to stop doing some stuff because we cannot take our focus away from beating the crap out of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll just find out what they're really objecting to, and then we'll just kind of like back off a little bit because we don't want to go through that part of it. But that's the way I look at it is, you know, they picked us.
That's right. You know, and your job is to defend them.
There's no polygamy in the in vertical markets, just like what you were saying, is that, you know, and it's you against them and their agency. And I just really enjoy seeing, you know, stuff happen.
Absolutely. Okay.
That's what we try to do.
That's right. One last question. I'm going to let you go because we're getting up to the end of the, you know, to the bottom of the hour. Now, if you want your clients and your future clients to remember one thing about you, what is it?
Me personally, or
you are the company.
Oh, that we do what we say we're going to do. We're really freaking good, and we're kind of fun to be with too. So that would be what that's what they tell us.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I just want to say, you know, Joe, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, it's been a lot of fun. Sorry we were a couple minutes late. You know, these things happen. At least we were able to get you on the show within a couple minutes of 10 o'clock. You know, these things happen.
No worries.
You know, due to technical difficulties, things go on. You know, but I wanted to thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, stick around. We'll have a conversation once I sign off. So, Next week, you're in for a treat. I got Warren Whitlock coming to us from Las Vegas. Warren's a lot of fun to deal with. He is a great storyteller. You know, he runs a radio show live from Vegas. He's been in the marketing game for over 35 years and has a host of stories to tell. So I'm excited about having him on the show. You should be excited to have him on the show. We're on every Wednesday at 10 o'clock on Pacific Time on yourlivingbrand.live. You know, come be with us. We'd love to have you there. And we want to make sure, you know, we want to make sure that you join us on the ride. We've got guests lined up all the way through December and January next year. And each and every one of them is going to be able to tell you their story of what makes them different, what makes them interesting, and, you know, how do they work to tell their story in an effective way. Now, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. What we do, we consult, we teach, and we speak. It's really simple. That's what we do on brand, message, market, vision, and value. We're here to be your corporate storytellers. We're here to tell your story, help you engage your audience, and get people to care about who you are, what you do, why you do it, and spend their money with you instead of their competitors. If we can help, I'd love to hear from you. Have a great week, everybody, and I will see you next Wednesday. Ben Baker, signing off.